Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. You know, it's funny when you start to think about it, how many systems we're surrounded by. I mean, obviously our phones and laptops, right? But it's so much more than that.
Yeah, it really is.
Like even just getting coffee in the morning or the way businesses run, systems are everywhere. And today we're going to unpack how those systems get built from scratch.
Exactly, and how we can ensure they're secure, which is so important in today's world.
And to help us break down this process, we're diving into Zero Tenge CRISP Domain 3 Intro and Section 10.pdf.
Right, this document lays out a framework called the Information System Life Cycle.
Basically, like a roadmap for taking a system from like just an idea all the way to making it a reality.
It's fascinating how many of us use these complex systems every single day without really thinking about how they come to be.
It's true. We just kind of take it for granted. So
Yeah.
this document breaks it all down into nine key phases, nine essential stages in this life cycle. So where do we even begin?
Well, it all starts with understanding the why. You know, what are the stakeholder needs and requirements?
Yeah, the foundation, right? Like what problem are we even trying to solve here?
Exactly. What does the system need to accomplish? Who are the key players? It's all about getting super clear on those needs right from the get-go.
And one thing I found interesting in the source, it's kind of obvious, but it said a really common pitfall is failing to properly define those needs right up front.
Absolutely.
Like it seems simple, but I guess you'd be surprised how often projects go sideways because those initial conversations weren't thorough enough.
Yeah, they can be overlooked surprisingly often. And then on the security side, it's really important to outline security goals at this stage too.
Oh, interesting. So baking that in right from the beginning.
Right. What are we trying to protect and from whom?
Okay, so it's not just about building a system that works, it's about building it with security as a core principle, not an afterthought.
Precisely, yeah.
Yeah.
This sets the stage for a much more resilient system in the long run.
Got it. So we've got our needs nailed down, we have our initial security framework. What's next?
Then we move on to phase two. Requirements analysis.
Okay, so if phase one was the what, this is the how, right?
You got it. This is where we take those big picture goals and translate them into specific actionable requirements for the system.
So it's about getting granular, really starting to flesh out the details.
Yeah, think of it like this: taking that initial sketch of a house and turning it into a detailed blueprint.
Okay, with measurements, materials, building codes, all of that.
Yes, exactly. And in this phase, those initial security goals we talked about, those start to crystallize into concrete measures. So we're identifying potential risks, pinpointing vulnerabilities, and outlining security controls that align with those initial goals.
So everyone's on the same page. We've got our security blueprint, and now we're ready to start building this thing.
You got it. That brings us to phase three, architectural design.
Okay, the system structure. So this is the hardware, the software, the network, the whole nine yards.
Exactly,
Got
that's
it.
right. And here, the document doesn't just emphasize design, it stresses the importance of defense in depth.
Defense in depth. Now that sounds serious. What does that mean, practically speaking?
Well, you wouldn't just rely on a single lock to protect your home, right?
No way.
You'd have strong doors, secure windows, maybe an alarm system, multiple layers of security.
Oh, I see. So that's defense in depth in action. Like multiple layers of security measures so that if one fails, the whole system doesn't crumble.
Exactly, yeah. Makes it much harder for malicious actors to compromise the system. Even if they breach one layer, they still have multiple hurdles to overcome.
Oh, that's smart. Okay, so on to actually building this thing. Phase four, development implementation.
That's right. This is where it starts to take shape in the real world.
This is where the coders, the developers, they come in and work their magic, right?
Yeah. And the source is very clear about the need for secure coding practices during this phase. We're not just talking about making the code functional, we're talking about making it resilient to attack.
So why is that so crucial? What kind of risks are we talking about if that's not done right?
Imagine a skyscraper built with like substandard materials.
Okay, yeah.
Even a minor earthquake could bring the whole thing down.
Right.
Similarly, even a small coding error can create a vulnerability that hackers can exploit.
So it's like leaving a window open in that fortress we were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter how strong the walls are.
And we've seen it time and time again with data breaches and system failures stemming from, yeah, coding errors.
Wow.
Not
Okay, yeah.
me. Yeah.
It's a good reminder that security is an ongoing process, not a one-time fix.
Couldn't agree more. So we've built our secure system, but we're not done yet. We still have to make sure it works with all the other systems it needs to interact with. And that's where phase five integration comes in.
Right, making sure all the pieces of the puzzle fit together, no awkward gaps, no overlaps.
It's not as simple as just plugging things in and hoping for the best.
Definitely not.
Integration requires careful planning and execution, because introducing a new system into an existing ecosystem, well, it can create unforeseen vulnerabilities if it's not handled correctly.
Yeah, you don't want to mess up a system that's already working. So it's like adding on an addition to your home. You got to make sure it ties into the existing structure without, you know, compromising the integrity of the original building.
A great analogy.
It's like that game Jenga.
Oh, yeah.
One wrong move and the whole tower could topple.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a great analogy. We want to make sure that we're not creating any weak points during that integration process.
Right. And speaking of testing, once we're confident that our system plays well with others, it's time for phase six, verification and validation.
Yes.
This is where we put everything to the test.
Exactly. This is where we make sure that it does what it's supposed to do.
Make sure it's working right.
It meets those requirements that we so carefully outlined, mm-hmm. and that it performs well under pressure.
So rigorous testing from all angles, making sure everything's firing on all cylinders.
Exactly. And one type of testing that the source highlights is user acceptability testing, which I find really interesting.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Mm. You know, a system can be a technological marvel, but if it's too complicated for people to actually use, it's not going to be very effective.
Exactly. User experience is critical, and this phase helps ensure that we're not just building something that works in theory,
right,
but something that people will actually find useful.
Right. Form and function got to have both.
Exactly.
It's like you can lead a horse to water,
but you can't make it drink.
Yeah.
All right. So our system has been designed, built, integrated, and thoroughly tested.
It's ready.
It's time for the main event, phase seven transition slash deployment.
Okay. So this is where we take our baby out for its first spin in the real world, right? Moving it from that development stage into the live production environment.
Exactly. And the document emphasizes the importance of a secure and controllable transition.
Why is that so vital? I feel like after all that prep work, this would be the easy part.
You would think so, but a bumpy transition can lead to disruptions, data loss, or even security breaches.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Imagine like a bank launching a new online banking system.
Okay, yeah.
But the transition is poorly managed and customers can't access their accounts.
Oh, that'll be a nightmare.
Talk about a PR nightmare.
Huge. So, okay, we've launched our system. Everything's running smoothly. We can all breathe a sigh of relief, right?
Not so fast.
Oh, no. What else?
This is where the real long game begins.
Oh.
Phase eight, operations and maintenance.
Okay.
This is about keeping the system running smoothly, making sure it's secure.
Mm-hmm.
And adapting to any changes or challenges that come up.
So it's like they say, the work is never done.
Pretty much. You don't just build a system and forget about it. It's like a car. You wouldn't buy a car and just assume it'll run forever.
That's true.
You need regular maintenance oil changes, the occasional repair.
And software updates.
Exactly.
Which, let's be honest, can sometimes feel just as frequent as oil changes.
That's a good point. But this phase is all about vigilance. Monitoring the system for any signs of trouble, installing patches to fix vulnerabilities, managing configurations, and just having those robust incident response plans in place should anything unexpected occur.
So it sounds like the security considerations we talked about in those earlier phases are especially important here.
Absolutely. Cyber threats are constantly evolving, so it's crucial to be proactive. Scanning for vulnerabilities, updating those security measures, and adapting to those ever-changing risks.
Always staying one step ahead.
Yes.
So we've covered the system's entire lifespan, from those initial brainstorming sessions to the ongoing care and feeding required to keep it running smoothly. But like all good things, even the most well-designed systems reach their end of life.
Yeah.
That's where phase nine retirement slash disposal comes in.
Right.
Not the most glamorous phase, but just as important as all the others.
It is, yeah. Like out with the old, in with the new. But maybe not as simple as just hitting the delete button, huh? Exactly. Retirement and disposal require just as much care and attention as any other phase, especially when you consider data security. The document emphasizes the need to prevent data leaks during this phase.
Oh, wow. So it's more than just deleting a few files and calling it a day?
Much more. Yeah, we're talking about secure data sanitization, ensuring that all sensitive information is thoroughly erased using specialized methods.
Oh, wow.
Think of it like using a digital shredder, right?
Yeah.
Making sure that your information is truly gone, not just sitting in some, you know, forgotten corner of the internet.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a great analogy. It makes it much easier to grasp, like, the level of care that goes into this.
Yeah, it's about responsible stewardship, right, of the systems we create. Even at the end of their life cycle, we also need to think about proper disposal of hardware, making sure it's done in a way that minimizes, you know, environmental impact. And of course, we need to comply with any data retention regulations that might apply.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's amazing how much goes into managing a system responsibly from its inception to its retirement. It really is a whole life cycle. Like we keep saying, a journey, not just a one-time project.
And what's fascinating is that this journey, this process, it's not just happening in some tech company's lab.
Right.
It's all around us. It's shaping our everyday experiences in ways that we might not even realize.
That is what I find so intriguing about this deep dive. It's given me a new lens through which to view all those systems that we encounter every single day, like from, you know, the traffic lights that keep our cities moving to the online banking platforms we rely on to manage our money.
Absolutely. And understanding this life cycle, this careful process of planning, building, managing, and retiring these systems can help us appreciate how much thought and effort goes into, you know, creating a world that functions smoothly, relatively speaking.
Right. And it also empowers us to ask important questions about those systems that we interact with every day. Like, are they actually meeting our needs? Are they secure? Or are they being managed responsibly?
Exactly. Knowledge is power.
It is.
And the more we understand about these systems, well, the better equipped we are to navigate this increasingly complex technological landscape.
This has been a fascinating deep dive. We went from those initial sparks of inspiration through every single phase of this system life cycle. We explored the planning, the design, the testing, and even the often overlooked art of retiring a system gracefully. We really unpacked what it takes to create systems that not only function but thrive.
And how crucial it is to bake in that security every step of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen how those 9 phases act as guideposts leading to systems that are robust, reliable, and designed with the end user in mind. But I think most importantly, what we've learned here is that this isn't just about technology, right? It's about people.
It is.
It's about creating systems that work for us, that enhance our lives, and help us navigate this increasingly interconnected world.
Well said.
So the next time you encounter a system, whether it's, you know, something as seemingly simple as a vending machine or as complex as, you know, an online marketplace, take a moment, just appreciate the intricate dance of planning and development and maintenance that brought that thing to life. You might be surprised by what you discover. Until next time, keep those minds curious and remember that the quest for knowledge never truly ends.